I was asked by the pastoral council to give a brief word regarding current events, especially in regards to, you may have read in the paper the last few weeks or seen on the news or something about the diocese facing a lawsuit, you know, $8.4 million or something like that. And it's very likely that the diocese will indeed probably go bankrupt. You know, that's looking like that's going to probably happen. But we should know that although this brings a lot of questions for us, what do we do? How does this affect us? But the parishes are separate from the diocese. They're separate corporations, so we're protected from this sort of lawsuit. It will certainly affect, undoubtedly, our efforts on a diocesan level to reach out and to work in the field of souls. But, you know, we can trust that we as a parish will continue to work as we have. And we may also have to suffer at times the defamation of our faith, the vilification of the church. But again, nothing new there. We face that as a church often over the years, over the centuries, over the millennia. So I just want to encourage us, we should remember that this is God's church. He's in control. He's the one that's guiding us. And Pope Francis has asked us, right, to become the church of the poor, serving the poor. So here's our big chance. We can fit right in. And maybe all of these lawsuits that have been brought forward because of the clergy sex abuse can help us refocus our mission to rediscover, reawaken ourselves to the real task of saving souls rather than preserving an institution. Okay, so there's that. Now on to today's topic. The scriptures today remind us that we are to be prepared for the end. Some reflection on death is appropriate here for this time of the liturgical year as we approach the end, and also, you know, seasonally, we're in the season when things kind of are going into that cycle where there's sort of a settling of life and we're preparing for winter. The scriptures help us to think about this. Death is a reality. It's something that's part of our future. We can't avoid it. Therefore, since we know this, how come we don't spend more time preparing for it? Let's look at some statistics regarding how the average person spends their life. We spend 25 years of our, so this is based on a 78.6 year lifespan. So we spend 25 years of those sleeping. All right, so think of that, 25 years sleeping. 10.3 years working, okay. 9 years, this is terrible, 9 years watching television. Oof. And even worse, 2 years watching commercials. Awful, isn't that awful? Can you imagine 2 years straight? 1 year cleaning, 2.5 years cooking, 3.6 years eating, 4.3 years driving, 3 months in traffic, 1.5 years in our bathrooms. This adds up to a total of 59.5 years, so we haven't accounted for everything. I didn't want to go into everything, but those are the big ones, right? We spend that much of our lives in temporal things, thinking about those things, some which are necessary, right, of course, but how much time do we spend preparing for death, or rather for eternal life? If we spend 1 hour at Mass each week, every week of the year, and do this for 78.6 years, we spend, over the course of our lives, half a year in church, by comparison. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, "All sinners wish for salvation, and in the meantime, they, by their own choice, condemn themselves to hell with the hope of being afterwards saved." We spend our time in many ways, but my plea is that we spend some time preparing for eternal life, and specifically that we prepare throughout our lives, and especially at the end of our life, to that foreseeable thing that we see, death. To die a holy death is a great thing. A large part of our being prepared for death is being in a state of grace, living in a way that allows us to follow Christ. That means not having any major sins on our soul, what we call mortal sins in the Catholic Church. God is certainly merciful. There's no doubt of that. Of course, we know that. He will forgive us if we ask Him, if we repent. But if we think that we're just going to fix everything at the end of our lives and pull into purgatory right at the end there, in the last minute, kind of gambling with eternal things, eternal consequences. And this is an area of our lives where we don't want to gamble. We don't want to mess this one up. God is merciful. But He's also just. And justice requires that there are consequences to our sins. It's not that God chooses to send us to hell. We make that choice by failing to follow Him or to serve Him. So when we sin, we choose to serve the evil one, the devil, who is the father of lies and the enemy of our souls. He's out to get us. That's the truth. I was talking to one of our classes over at school the other day, and we were talking a little bit about this kind of subject. I was saying that many of the saints have kind of lived by this quote. If you pray daily, you will certainly go to heaven. If you do not pray daily, then you certainly will go to hell. Now, they were a little uncomfortable with that, and I understand that too, me too. It's a little scary. They were certainly looking for a way forward. What do we do with this? Certainly, you know, this saying is not getting at a dogmatic thing, something that we teach dogmatically in the church or a doctrine, but instead an idea that we must spend time developing our relationship with Jesus. If we don't do that, then we're condemning our souls. Now, why is it that we're so quick to look for an exception or a way out to get away from God's plan, the plan that He gave us? God's plan is simple, right? Follow Him, love God, love our neighbors, accept His mercy into our lives and His love, and become saints. But we ask things like, what if someone comes to God at the last minute? What happens then? Can they get to heaven? What if someone is a good person but doesn't confess their sins or doesn't go to church? What happens then? We always have all these what-ifs. Now, certainly, we want to love our brothers and sisters, and we want to give opportunities for them, but it's not up to us, right? It's up to God. He's the one that makes those calls. So I was trying to tell the kids, well, those are good questions. We should think about those. But that's not my decision. That's God's decision. And so if we want to play with that, we're playing with fire. We're playing with fire. Now, are these questions motivated out of a love of God? I don't think they are. I think most of the time we are motivated to ask these questions because we live sometimes this minimalism. How little can I do to get to heaven? Or how little can I enter into this relationship with God? And this is minimalism at its worst, right? And when this is our attitude, we're missing the point. We're really missing the point. And I'm afraid we're going to miss the goal, which is heaven. Our faith is not a checklist. It's not something just to check off. It's more than that. And if we just see it as an obligation to fulfill an exchange of goods, then certainly, like any shopper, we want a deal, right? I want to put in as little as possible and get out as much as possible. So that's the wrong way to approach our relationship with God. It's not an exchange of goods. We would never approach a marriage that way. We would never approach a real relationship that way. We wouldn't say to someone, I want to have this thing going on, but I don't want to do a lot. So can you work with me here? What's the minimum I can love you or support you or get to know you and still be married? Those don't make happy marriages, and they don't make good relationships. So that's not a good way to approach it. So these questions of how little I can do or how can I find a loophole in God's plan are all misdirected or misguided. An important part of our life is the end, how we finish. There's a positive correlation for attaining eternal life when we finish well, and there's a negative correlation when we finish poorly to attaining heaven. There are some really awesome theologians and people who have followed Christ who did not finish well, and we don't know how they ended. We don't say anything in the church, but it doesn't look good, right? So people like Judas, the apostle, right? Tertullian, he was a great theologian. Solomon, the king of Israel, who was supposedly the wisest man in the world. Ezekiel 18:24 says, "When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does. Will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered. For his treachery which he has committed, and his sin which he has committed, for then he will die." St. Augustine says, as God is not unfaithful in his promises, so he is not a liar in his threats. So this can kind of sound grim. But then there's the other side of the coin. We also have many saints who have started off pretty rough, right? Pretty difficult, pretty challenging situations, and it didn't look good for them, but they came out. St. Augustine, St. Paul, St. Peter, St. Mary Magdalene. Ezekiel 18:27 says, "When a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life." So that should give us hope, right? We always have hope. We always are people of hope. We always look to that. But we also have to remember that it's a two-sided coin. As Catholics, if possible, we want to be strong the whole way through our lives. But certainly, we want to finish well. We want to finish strong. Here are some things that the Church offers us, some practical things that can help us prepare for death. And we should do these things. First, make a good confession, right? If possible, we should have a regular habit of confession. That should be part of our lives. Everyone is different, so people say, how often should I go? Well, that depends on where you are, your spiritual life, where you're at, and the walk of life. You know, it's going to be different for each of us. If at all possible, receive the last rites. These are the treasures that the Church offers us in the time when we are approaching death. Don't wait until your family member is non-responsive to call the priest. You can call the priest several times if needed. It's very helpful for the person to be awake, to be responsive when the priest comes. Last rites include things like confession, viaticum, which is the last time that they receive communion, anointing of the sick. Anointing of the sick, I should say, can be received multiple times, and it's not just for the dying, but it takes on a little different form when we receive it when we're dying. And finally, the apostolic pardon, which is a special prayer given by the Church, which potentially frees a person from temporal punishments, which is basically the things that we experience when we're in purgatory as we're preparing for that eternal heaven, that eternal banquet with God. So receiving the last rites is a special moment in a person's life, and it's basically that last preparation for the journey to heaven. Another really awesome thing to do, an important thing to do, is to get right with your family and your friends. Who are the people that you've hurt over the years or that have hurt you? Reach out to those people. Don't wait till the end. I mean, we could do this anytime, but wait. Don't wait till it's too late. Reach out to your friends, your family, and don't wait to do that. Other things that you could consider doing, plan your funeral, you know? That might seem like a morbid thing to do. Let's think about death. Yeah, this is really good. No, it might be scary. It might be, freak us out a little bit. But, you know, it's not so bad because it's going to happen at some point, right? So to be ready is better than to not be ready. And you can spare your family and your, you know, especially your close family a lot of pain if you have all this stuff written out. I've seen a lot of times when a family member dies and there's problems because people are confused. They want this or they want that, and there wasn't ever a clear direction given by the deceased. So you can save your family a lot of grief if you do that for them. Now, all of this can seem, of course, a little bit morbid, but really, it's only tragic or morbid and scary when we don't prepare. Coming to terms with our mortality is a great way for us to prepare for eternal life. Why does the Catholic Church talk about death so much? Because we want people to live. We want them to live eternally. If you're afraid or concerned about death, or maybe if you just want to spend some time reflecting upon the topic in a spiritual way, I could recommend the book. It's called Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus Liguori. It's a book filled with short reflections and meditations upon this topic. So as we continue towards the end of the liturgical year, I would invite you to consider spending some time reflecting on the greater truths of life. One of them being that we are mortal, we will die, and it's okay to think about that. We don't have to put that aside, even though our culture is a little afraid of that topic. And spending some time preparing for that eternal life is a great way to end the liturgical year. God bless you.